everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The new rules you didn't know you needed? Maybe you still don't understand? And what they did to this All-Star Game intensity. Also, the new rules you need for the dunk contest. Oh, there you go, Jackson. And an around the horn investigation into what it means when you take your earpiece out. I'm assuming you guys are laughing. I can't hear you. I mean, this big laugh, I'm assuming. I can't hear. My earpiece is out. On account of my earpiece being out.
We're laughing.
First question, is it okay that this ended on a free throw? I know you guys have takes on that. But, all in all, the new rules you didn't understand, and maybe you still don't. The fourth quarter, offensive fouls out the wazoo in an All-Star game. The LeBron Giannis goaltend was the irresistible force paradox on display. You could have thought there was going to be a fight or somebody going after a ref. That's how intense this was. Playoff atmosphere. And Anthony Davis winning it on the free throw line. Frank Isola, what did we just witness?
I love what you said. Playoff-like intensity out there. And I kept thinking, well, Kemba Walker's struggling to get his shot off, and Embiid's missing free throws, and Giannis is struggling in half court. Yeah, it is like
jokes.
A playoff
all
game.
Right,
those
all
things
right.
tend to happen. But, you know, you showed that arguing among the players, and anyone that's ever played a pickup game knows this. When you get the game point, that's exactly what happens. Everyone starts complaining that there should be a foul call, there shouldn't be a foul. They were intense. There was defense. But remember this, the players love the new format. There's a new format because you guys weren't competing enough, but you did last
All right.
night.
Let me just massage the question so I don't have another guy going at the playoff resume of some players. Tim Kalisha, did the NBA fix the All-Star game?
Yes, I think they finally did. I never thought playing to 157 would be so exciting. But that's what they were doing in the fourth quarter. I think it started in the second quarter after Team Giannis got blown away in the first. Giannis was out there playing like it meant something. And Rudy Gobert, to me, was the guy who changed the game, going out there blocking shots, going for the offensive boards. Nobody does that in an All-Star game. He went out there and played basketball. And eventually, as time went on and you got to the fourth and Giannis is blocking LeBron's shot, that brought everybody up to their highest level. And we haven't seen anything like that in an All-Star game in forever.
Hey, Woody Page, did the NBA fix the All-Star game?
Yes, it may have fixed the NBA. We may end up seeing the NBA using this in regular season games.
Oh, listen to Woody Page.
I think that they should take it to the G League or D League or whatever it's called now and let them play an entire season and see what it's like and actually consider it for exhibition games in the future. I do think there was a downside. Two things would be, one, the players looked very tired down at the end. That was because there were no commercial timeouts and they weren't changing people. And the coaches really didn't understand what they were actually supposed to be doing during that fourth quarter without any timeouts. I think that would have made a difference if you had traded guys back and forth. And I don't want to see a game end on the free throw. I'm sorry. I would like to really see that if you're going to go that way, that you have to win by 3 points. That way, you wouldn't have a free throw to end the game.
Yeah,
if it's like a pickup game, you know, also you might want to take the referees away and have the players determine whether that's a foul.
Well, that's interesting. The refs clearly seemed they didn't know exactly how to call a game of this nature, the All-Star game. George, can you start with where Woody left off, that he didn't think the free throw ending was the right way to end this game?
Oh, I think it was, Tony. For anyone complaining about that, look at how we end normal basketball games. Sometimes you can go the last 2 minutes of a game where teams are down 6 or 7 points and they're fouling to try to extend the game. It becomes a free throw shooting contest anyway. At least this one has real stakes attached to it and real pressure. We saw Anthony Davis, who's an excellent free throw shooter, miss one under pressure by a mile, it felt like. So I do think that that ending works fine. I don't think that's an issue. I thought it was a rousing success for the NBA and for the viewers. We were the biggest winners in this situation. And I bet you Roger Goodell and Rob Manfred, who's got other things he's got to deal with right now, are texting their guys and going, hey, how do we try to figure out how to fix our all-star games in these situations? But look, you see the way they played. The intensity was there. Guys were complaining to the refs. It felt like a real game. And the field goal percentage went down in the fourth quarter because there were actual defense being played, 20% lower in the fourth quarter. It was an impressive showing all across
the board. Frank Isola, on the free throw ending, you all right with that?
I didn't have a problem with that at all, especially after you missed the first one. Anthony Davis, after the game, tried to say, I missed it on purpose to build the drama. I don't believe that for a minute. So I didn't have an issue with that. I do think a problem was it took 41 minutes to play that fourth quarter of actual time. They might have played between 15 and 20 minutes of actual basketball. And think about this. Giannis's team had 133 points after three quarters. They scored 22 in that fourth quarter. And that, like I said, it was probably between 15 and 20 minutes. That's how intense everyone was on the defensive
end. Is anybody with Woody Page that the Elam ending could apply to regular season NBA basketball? Kalashaw, you? Sedano shaking his head no.
I don't see how you're going to do that. I mean, what made
I'll
this different was it was special. We all grew up playing pickup basketball where you play to a number. Now we saw pros playing to a
Sedano?
Number.
Tony, I've got a way we can implement it. Adam Silver wants to put in a play-in game. In those play-in games to get into the playoffs, maybe I would consider it. But that would be the only place.
Oh, so you're giving Woody. Woody is getting a little bit of a Sedano
overtime.
Bonus here. How about that?
Overtime.
Okay. All right. Fine. And also, the Kobe Bryant MVP, which Sedano, I have to give you points. You had that immediately about 3 weeks ago. Kawhi Leonard for MVP? Isola, yes or no?
Oh, I definitely think so. It was either he or Chris Paul. Giannis wanted to win it because it was named after Kobe. LeBron wanted to win it, but Kawhi, I thought it was deserved.
Kalashaw?
I mean, he did almost all of his damage in the first quarter, but I don't know who would be a better choice on Team LeBron. He made the
defense.
Threes.
We'll move on then to the dunk contest. Oh, boy. Forget that Aaron Gordon has the most perfect dunks in history and zero titles to show for it. Forget that in the make it up as we go along, he chose to jump over Taco Fall, totally unscripted, and daggered it. Forget that Derrick Jones Jr. has perfected the through the leg dunk. We get it. We saw it over and over and over again. The judging. All you need to see is the panel's reactions to the scores and everybody looking at Dwayne Wade, who was taking his earpiece out, all right? That right there is all you need to know. That's all right. When you take an earpiece out, it means I'm done here. Ramona had reported that Common had said all the judges agreed they'd give a 48 to get to a third overtime. I don't wonder what you think about that. Conspiracy theories abound. What did we witness Saturday night, George Sedano?
I'm going to get accused of being the Miami Homer, so I'm just going to come out on the offensive anyway and tell you that Dwayne Wade did what was right. This notion that we were going to go with a tie and then have to try to pick it was going to come down to votes anyway at that particular point.
Oh, no.
Here's a couple of other things, all right? Aaron Gordon, we could talk about him being robbed and because it was cumulative. The rules simply state they're not cumulative, okay?
No, that's you're right there.
It simply states that we need to stop with that nonsense that he had five straight 50s. That doesn't mean anything. The other thing is he tried a dunk that Derrick Jones Jr. tried and didn't do it as well. It's not Derrick Jones Jr.'s fault that he didn't, that
goodness.
He can make it look easier
you recognize
than
it
Aaron
still
Gordon.
Says it says Los Angeles behind George Sedano. You want Beckett? Fine. We understand you're from Miami, but you got to get out of this. Homerism. Yeah.
One more. Taco Fall needs a neck brace today for Aaron Gordon jumping on his neck.
Stop.
He didn't clear him by any stretch.
All right, everybody wants in on Sedano. Isola, first to you.
I mean, he jumped over basically a tree. How impressive is that when he did over Taco Fall? There's an easy way to correct it.
He didn't jump over
a tree. Just have the judges, like they do in the Olympics, for diving and for gymnastics, have a 9.5, a 9.6.
Fractional scoring.
That would solve a lot.
Yeah.
But George is right, though. Dwayne Wade, as you know, this weekend, they're going to have about an 8-day celebration for his jersey retirement. There was no way that Dwayne Wade was showing up there, having given Aaron Gordon the title ahead of Derrick Jones Jr. I totally understand.
I don't agree with it, but you said George is right, so I guess George is getting a point. Kalishaw, where are you on this?
Okay, technically, I would say Gordon landed on the tree and then kind of scooted his way over the tree to get to the other side.
Taco may have been 6'9 by
fine.
That time. Yeah, yeah.
That's still the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing is the show and the spectacle. I will say this. I don't think Jones needs to feel embarrassed that he won it. His dunks are spectacular, and the one he did off the side of the backboard was better than the one Gordon did off the side of the backboard. It was two great guys going at it. I do think Wade needs to answer about how that 9 came up on Taco Fall.
You're not kidding, man. Every single judge looked over at Dwayne Wade when that happened. Woody Page, what did you see?
Guys, it was a slam dunk contest. Do you suddenly get excited about this after all these years? It was very good. It was judged sort of badly. If I were in charge of it, I'd get only former slam dunk winners to be the judges, not hip-hop artists or people like us or something to judge it. But in terms of the entertainment value, and that's all that really matters, that was fun to watch. We complained about it in the past that maybe you should get rid of it. No, you shouldn't get rid of it. You just should have players that are very creative, and that's exactly what we saw. So while you're sitting there, you sounded like one of you sounded, George, like he wants the French skating judge from Salt Lake City to be involved. No, just let it be what it is.
But okay, go ahead, George.
I would just like to say, if I'm getting accused of bias, let's talk about Tim Cowlishaw still being upset about 2006 and Frank Isola upset that Pat Riley faxed in his resignation.
This has nothing to do with this conversation now, Donato.
What even happened in 2006?
Nothing to do with this conversation. The most unbelievable dunk of the weekend was the one from Chris Paul in the game. He has 686 alley-oop dunks in his career, but he's only on the receiving end for 3 of them. And he did this one at 34 in the All-Star game. So I read a Donde's tweet that said Paul went plant-based recently, and that's an example of how it's helped him. Do you believe that is a plant-based dunk?
Plant-based dunk, yeah.
Yes, you do. Well, then we should all we should all be on this diet.
Yeah.
We'll be back with By Ourselves next.
Come on, Tony.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
And Mike Trout, the game's best player, and Justin Turner of the Dodgers, who had just a flamethrower at the commissioner today, to the list of players wanting more punishment. Carlos Correa this weekend, and everybody looking at Altuve's tattoo on his collarbone. Meanwhile, Commissioner Rob Manfred.
We found no evidence, not a single witness, who could corroborate that there were buzzers being used during the 2019 season. Indeed, that they were doing anything. Can I tell you 100% certain that it didn't happen? No. The idea of, you know, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, you know, sort of a futile act.
Okay, we are familiar with feudal acts every day. Woody, what did you think of Manfred's comments?
It was the worst possible. He was as bad as the Astros when they tried to, quote, apologize. Everything he said made no sense at all. In fact, the most important aspect of that that made me very irate was he said, well, it's just a piece of metal. Well, this is a piece of metal. That's the commissioner's trophy. Next year, doesn't he want to hand this to the world champions and say, here's your piece of metal trophy? The guy should resign. I mean, he has totally screwed this up.
Ooh.
He says the Boston Red Sox investigation will not be completed for another couple of weeks. Well, why didn't you wait to talk until then? Everybody's saying, well, what about the Red Sox? Well, it took this much longer to actually figure out what the Red Sox did. It's just going to carry on. 2 weeks from now, we're still going to be talking about this. And the players now are coming out as a result of what he said. They're so mad at what the commissioner was talking about. Ooh. The guy should step
all
away
right.
from
Woody Page. Woody's got the commissioner resigning. Do you believe, let's start there then, Tim Kalishaw. Do you believe we've risen to that level where this is that serious?
Okay, I'm going to say no, so that makes me defending Rob Manfred that he doesn't have to resign right now. It was a very uninspired performance by Rob Manfred, mainly overlooking the fact that his investigation didn't find out the things we've read about in the Wall Street Journal, Operation Codebreaker, and the things that were going on in the Astros office. But he said one important thing real quick, and that is the reason they didn't go after the players is because they were going to lose those grievances because the players would have been able to prove Jeffrey Luno didn't do his job in informing them of what they had been told was legal and illegal.
And that holds water to you? All right, Frank Isola, how about you? Start with Woody there that the commissioner needs to resign over this.
No, but he did mess this up. And I think to Tim's point about the players, we had Mike Trout come out. Here's arguably the best player in the sport who never says anything even remotely controversial. He's upset that players did not get punished. The players in this case, you're firing a general manager. You're firing the manager of the team, A.J. Hinch. Why aren't players being suspended for their role in this? But I'll also say this about players. Were you this indignant when, you know, teams were winning the World Series with known steroid users as well? Cheating is cheating.
And George Sedano.
Look, I can understand why the players, Tony, would be upset by this. Justin Turner had some really strong comments basically saying the commissioner hadn't won anything. Well, the commissioner's performance wasn't great in that Carl Ravage interview. And look, he looked like he was clearly, visibly sweating under the lights there. He had a little sweat there above his lip. It wasn't necessarily feeling the context of those particular questions. But here's the reality of it, man. Frank is right. Tim is right. The players should have been suspended in some way, shape, or form. And this notion that they had to field a team, well, that's what you have a minor league system for, okay? This notion that you couldn't stagger these particular suspensions, we've seen other leagues do that, particularly the NBA does it during the playoffs.
Yep.
And lastly here, I think ultimately if you're Rob Manfred, you sat there and you chastised the Astros the way they handled it. You yourself need to look in the mirror and see how you've handled this particular situation. I wouldn't go as far as to say he should resign. No, I don't think he should go that far, but he certainly needs to look at himself in the mirror and realize he's made some mistakes
back
here
in.
Too.
Well, you know, it's amazing, too. You have the commissioner, because Dusty Baker, rightfully so, has said, I need you to protect my players. We know the way baseball works. The players police themselves. So here he is saying, if you start throwing at Astro players, I'm going to punish you. But yet you're protecting the team that cheated. That part of it makes no sense.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, the NHL Stadium Series in Colorado. Here you go, Woody Page. You were there. That's your light right there in the background. Traffic jams, long lines at Air Force Academy, Falcon Stadium. What would normally take an hour to get there from Denver, longer than three. You wrote in the Gazette today, Highway to Hell, Dante's Inferno, NHL brought its meh game. Traffic jams in parking lots, and also, in a very serious note, the most grave conclusion, the death of a fan falling from a sky bridge, leaving the game 2 hours after the end. Details of that tragedy still unknown. Woody, you've been hearing from angry local readers all day. What happened?
Well, I know what happened at the end of the game. When I finally got out of there about 2.5 hours later, I became a Lyft driver. I was picking up strangers on the side of the road, and they were offering me $50 and $100. But I'll tell you what, this is the fault of the National Hockey League. They've decided now they're going to put games of this stadium series at the Naval Academy, which they've already done, the Air Force Academy. Those are very secure areas, and that created problems. The traffic in a construction area of 21 miles from Denver to Colorado Springs. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough beer. People took 4 and 5 hours, got there in the third period. They should give refunds to everybody that showed up for that game, including the $30 I had to spend on.
All right. It's possible that everybody had enough beer. That's entirely possible. Who's to blame for this, Woody?
The Colorado Department of Transportation for not warning people sufficiently, the National Hockey League, the Colorado Avalanche, the Highway Patrol, the Air Force Academy, and me for going.
All right, thank you very much. Kyle is showing. Is there anything to add?
Well, that quote, oddly enough, it was every major failure I feared. That's the same thing I said about Woody after my first day on Around the Horn. That's funny that he comes back.
All right, you've got jokes as well, Frank Isola.
You know, it's a military-secured area, so it's going to be tough to get in and out. I remember going to Randall's Island when Pele played there. There was one way in, one way out. We sat in that parking lot for 2 hours, and my father said, never again. Guess what? Never again.
Yeah, look, everyone who put this thing together needed to do their due diligence on logistics. But what I would say to you is this. I live in L.A. We call that a Tuesday.
All right. Tim Kalish, Frank Isola, stuck today. Thanks for joining. George Sedano and Woody Page. With 30 seconds of FaceTime on the line, will Elon this first to 3 points wins?
there's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sedano, Page, good luck in showdown. The Cavaliers and Coach John Beilein meeting today, discussing his future and the possibility of him stepping down. If you're meeting to discuss a possibility of stepping down, is it already done? What's the moral here, George?
The moral is don't take a job with the Cleveland Cavaliers if you're a head coach. They have now fired 6 coaches in 7 years. If this ends up being the case, we will add another one to that list. This is the issue. Even though I didn't like the Beilein hire,
the problem was that he didn't realize what he was getting into, that it was an entirely bad situation. And I think the moral of the story is you've really got to look closely at college coaches. There have been a lot of them that haven't been able to adjust. And it's younger, to be honest, the younger coaches. And he should take a Beilein out of town.
I don't know. Brad Stevens, Billy Donovan's done a good job at OKC, you know? We'll give the point to Sedano. We'll move on. Showdown 2.
What does this team need to do on offense to get something going here?
We need to change the whole entire game plan at halftime.
Okay. Ripping your coach is play calling during your halftime interview with Scoop Russini. Your coach hearing about it in his halftime interview with Scoop Russini. McGloin's first drive back, pick 6. And then he's benched, and he still went back in more when he was interviewed on camera in the fourth quarter with Scoop Russini.
There's a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors. You know, I think we need to clean that up. Communication especially is one.
The
show today, just at no point in time that I think we were comfortable out there, at no point in time that I think we were in a position to try to be successful.
Very comfortable about communicating about communication, Woody. How do you rate Matt McGloin's XFL experience so far?
Well, I rate him an A for being able to talk. I'll rate him an F for the fact that he got replaced in the second half, and he's going to be replaced. That was his last time with that team, I'm sure about it. And yeah, he had a quarterback rating of 10.1.
I don't give him an A. I give Russini an A. Scoop deserves all that credit because she got out of it. He deserves to take accountability. Take responsibility for your 2 picks in that pick 6.
George Sedano, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thank you, Tony. I want to say happy birthday to Michael Jordan, 57th birthday to Michael Jordan, 6-time champion. Look, Larry and Michael got me interested in the game. Michael made me love the game. And I think it's appropriate that his birthday is the day after the All-Star game, where Adam Silver did a fantastic thing by naming the MVP trophy after Kobe Bryant, a man who also shaped another generation, the generation after me. So happy birthday, Mike. Rest in peace.
George, today's winner, Woody Page. You got a Mount Rushmore of U.S. presidents to give up President's Day?
Oh, yes. It's President's Day. You got to take Teddy Roosevelt.